Blog Talk Radio.
Mark the Rabbit Hole.
Broadcasting live from the fog of Neptune comes a rascally rabbit, exploring the unknown, traveling the astrological landscape, visiting secret worlds, dispelling the English language. So put on your bunny ears and hop down the rabbit hole with your host, Mark Matheny.
Mark.
Hello, and good Friday morning to you all. So this is the relaunch attempt of Mark the Rabbit Hole, and I will be your host. I will either be Mark or I will either be the Rabbit Hole. That's up for you to decide. Or I could just be Hole to some of you. Okay, so today I will have my wonderful producer here, Iggy Garcia, new nickname pending.
New nickname pending.
Maybe we'll just call him Pending for now.
Quite
well. Ensign Pending.
So, how are you today, my friend?
I'm doing well. Thanks for asking.
So thank you for having for coming on the show. Had a few technical difficulties, as my techno douchiness tends to.
Yeah, we cut right under the wire.
Yes. What's fun if you can't have a chaos at the last minute?
Butter up.
And, of course, we have my lovely virtual assistant, Victoria Fuzzbottom, to try and keep me in line a little bit, which, of course, we all know is impossible.
Fuzzbottom reporting.
Good morning, Victoria. Thank you for joining us today. So, Mr. Garcia and myself had a, first of all, I'm going to apologize for last week. I know I blasted some eardrums by having the samples set at some unpleasant volumes, perhaps one would say. So I have some assistance here to work through some of the technical issues until we can get everything up and smooth and running, and I already have some very awesome guests lined up for the future once I get up and running here. So I promise that you will not have to listen to me babble for the entire 60 minutes every week. So, Iggy and myself, of course, it was election day this week, midterm election. And so, you know, I'm just going to warn you now that I'm going to upset some of you during this show. So, but you know, it is what it is. And I appreciate you listening, but I'm kind of here to call out truth or call out BS if that is the situation.
Do tell.
So, Tuesday was election day. Wednesday, Mr. Garcia and myself partook of some other political events that were, I'd say, equally as entertaining. Mm-hmm. We hung out with some new friends of ours who prefer to remain anonymous. yes. So,
I like how you slipped that in there.
Right, right. Yeah. So a little warning for everyone out there. I'm not going to be afraid to speak my mind on things because I'm already on. I pretty much guarantee if there's any government list that's out there, I'm already on it. So I really have nothing to fear at this point. So we went and hung out with some new friends at the State House mm-hmm. on Wednesday, and it was quite fun. And that was kind of my way of doing my civic duty this week. How did you? Do you seem to enjoy yourself?
Yeah, it was an interesting situation. You know, it was kind of like, you know, you never know what you're going to get into when you get to these type of things. They're either going to be a big crowd or there's going to be a small crowd. You're going to be like the minority. We're always the minority regardless because everybody's kind of watching you and seeing what you're going to do. But, you know, I liked the fact that we, watching you progress through the whole thing, picking me up, taking me to Tim Hortons and the coffee store. We were wearing masks in the drive-thru. For those of you who saw the Facebook page, you know, we were...
had our Guy Fawkes
mask on.
Mask on.
But I found it really intriguing to be able to step into someone else's world and see what they're thinking about, what they're feeling, what's going on in their mind. So it was pretty cool. It was really cool to see that other people are not happy with the way things are going in the world or in this country. And you know, they're able to voice their opinions, their beliefs, you know, their religious thoughts. I think we were there with some folks from Anonymous and some folks from the Ohio Militia of some sort. And then there was another group, Ohio?
United Ohio.
United Ohio.
I think that was the name of it.
Yeah. The most interesting part was the guys with their shotguns and their machine guns and their pistols and their holsters. I found that really interesting because, you know, you could see the crowds when the people walked past them.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody was just kind of like, whoa, what's going on here? And they look at the police, and some people reported them to the police, and the police are like, well, you can carry a gun in Ohio, you know, as long as it's not concealed. So, you know, it was interesting. It was fun.
Yes, there's many ways to educate people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I know a couple of people had gotten freaked out, I believe, and had called in reporting there was people with guns out on the corner and stuff, but... You know, it is. It's legal to carry a firearm, not just for police and military and mm-hmm. stuff. And so, you know, that's one way of. There's many ways of spreading knowledge and educating people. Sometimes it is. You can make your opinion heard by going to the voting booth, or by writing a blog, or doing a radio show, or a public protest or exhibition, or sometimes just by leading by example, you can kind of show people what is, that's another way to show ways of expressing your rights and, you know, showing people what is legal and stuff. I know some of the people were very shocked when the police didn't come running over and try to disarm
yeah.
the couple people that had arms. And, you know, too, I'm going to give a little shout out to the Columbus Police Department. And all of my conversations with them Wednesday were very cool. In fact, we had Deputy Chief of Police came out. And I can't quite.
I don't remember his name.
It was like Kubler or something like that.
Yeah, real cool guy.
Yes, very nice guy. Very nice guy. Came out and chatted with us, and you know, a lot of our brothers and sisters in uniform are, you know, very much aligned with, you know, expressing their rights, and you know, some of them even, you know, commended us on
mm-hmm.
standing out there and making a stand for something, and overall, it was a very pleasant experience overall, I would say.
Yeah, it was very peaceful. You know, it was nothing really crazy and violent. A lot of people were real curious. And for those who have seen the movie, V for Vendetta, they probably conjures up an image in their mind of what was going on. And for a lot of people, it was just, you can see the sarcasm in a lot of people's faces too, you know, especially the ones that were talking to the cops. At the same time, as I was watching the police officers, you know, they were there to hold, you know, space, make sure that, you know, we were protected as much as other people were felt safe, because that could be a situation where we could actually be put in harm's way. But who's going to go mess with people with guns, right?
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, we got lots of strange looks and things, but
I could see the cops' faces, Marks. You know, they were like looking at the people that were talking to them, like, dude, can you just like walk away? Not us. Right. You know, like, you know, we want guns, okay? We just don't want you to have a gun.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
So funny.
Yeah. So in the spirit of the 5th of November and Election Day, you know, there was a lot of, I'm going to try to stay out of the negative vibrational level, but seems there was kind of a lot of bullying on Facebook and some other areas this week with maybe picking on people that maybe voting is not their preferred method of expressing themselves. Or perhaps, you know, maybe not voting sometimes is their form of expression, because I find a lot of really, really bad sayings that just get parroted that really have no truth or basis in fact out there. You know, I would say that I am very involved in politics and have been for the last, at least since late 90s. And I voted, not only do I vote in the presidential elections, I normally vote in the midterm elections. And, you know, so, there's a point, too, where, you know, the truth is you cannot solve a problem with the same mentality that it was created. And our system is corrupt and broken. So there's other ways to get points across. And it may be, you know, some people may want to stand in line for a couple hours to go vote for a candidate that, you know, perhaps none of them are really to their liking, because it seems very difficult for anyone outside of the two parties, or the one party disguised as two, to really get on, you know, to really make much headway. So like if you are in one of the two major parties, then you kind of, you're in this in club, even if you do not get the nomination or are the lead runner for your position, for your district or region or whatnot. But it seems like anyone who wants to spoil this little club of brats, which is our, you know, the Democratic and Republican parties, seems to get shunned away. And it doesn't sit well with me at all. I tend to vote third party across the board. Once in a while, there is a Democrat or Republican that I like. There are people awake everywhere. So I won't say I have never voted Democrat or Republican.
Mm-hmm.
But in general, I vote third party because I think that's the best way to, that's the best way, voting-wise, to try and get some change in this country. I know you actually ran for office a few years ago.
Yeah, in 2004, I ran for office. I was actually ran as a Democrat. I ran in the primary. I lost in the primary, but I had a pretty good turnout. I had about 10,000 votes overall. I won Franklin County, which was really cool, in the primary. But I lost in the outskirts. Well, you know, that's because of funding and you know, last minute, you know, just jumping into the campaign trail. And, you know, it's pretty interesting you say that, but the parties are kind of like, you know, they're the same, man. I've been in both parties. I've been part of the Republican Party. I've been part of the Democratic Party. And they all have the same agenda. They just want the power. They want the control. And that's it. It has nothing to do with you and me.
Right.
You know, and I ran for office to make change. I ran for office to make a difference, to be that open door policy, just to be something other than what we get every day. And I tell you, I got a rude awakening, you know, because that's not what they want. They don't want that. They'll listen to a point, but then after that, they make the final decision. There could be 1,000 people saying, there's going to be 1,000 people saying, you know, Victoria, shame on you. Cut me off like that. But, you know, but they end up making policy regardless if you want to change or not.
Exactly. So there's many ways to go about change. To me,
naughty.
Love the sound of Victoria's voice.
Yeah, she pops in. She's running the chat board there. I can see she's asking some questions to your guests, so which is pretty cool. Hopefully they catch on that she's doing that.
Yes. Yes. Victoria is my virtual assistant that I may have a bit of a crush on, but she's ignoring me right now. So,
dude, Mark.
Well, she kind of got tongue-tied there, didn't she? So, it seemed that there are those people who I saw a lot of people upset over the voting results for this week, and everyone is very welcome to have their own opinion and to go about seeking social change and justice and whatever they say fit, but unfortunately for you, this is my show, so so you're going to get my opinion here.
Clever.
I think she has a mind of her own, dude, because I'm not pushing anything.
I probably will not simmer, Victoria. Thank you. So, here is my belief, and...
Victoria.
Terrible, terrible manners by the British. I do not... here's what's... I'm not going to tell you what's not going to happen. Let's do this. Here's what's not going to happen, because I've been very involved in the last three presidential elections, and I've had a couple candidates I've supported, and I'm going to give you the exact rundown of exactly what happened the last three elections, if you are not directly in one of the two main parties. So you push your candidate. You try to promote them. You try to get them out there. You watch the debates where they get asked two questions in a 90-minute debate. And then you are supposed to follow along like a good lemming. Whichever of the bigger two parties you're more closely associated with will try to give the outward appearance of playing nice while secretly sabotaging you the whole time. You will get... ask hardly any questions at the debates. And then once you get close to the presidential elections, what happens is they put the big screw job on you and then act upset when you, after being bent over, that you do not want to follow along with the main party line. And then you get demonized. So here's what's not going to happen. You are not ever going to see me back the candidate of my choice, because this is supposed to be a democracy, right? Or actually, I'm going to correct that too.
It's a republic.
Right. The United States of America is not a democracy, nor was it set up to be. If you go back through your mind and repeat the Pledge of Allegiance, there is a line in there that says, for the republic for which it stands. We are supposed to be a republic. I want no part of a democracy. A democracy means 51% of the people tell 49% of the people what the hell to do.
Okay.
I do not agree with this.
We should do what the Native Americans did. Thumbs up, thumbs down, or side.
Right, right.
We might be in Congress for a while, but hey, you know what?
Right.
They're already wasting our time as it is.
Hey, people always seem to want to get up to where the point where we vote, and then they want to be you know, well, hurry up and count the votes, let's get over with it so we can go back to sleep for 4 years or 2 years. Not happening.
I'll tell you a story about that.
Go for it.
My friend actually beat John Kasich, and it's documented, but he conceded the race because he thought he lost. He left too early. My friend, Mr. Brown. And, you know, my father was on his campaign team, and he's like, well, let's go counting. Oh, no, it's okay, you know, because he got the preliminaries, and boy, that would have been a historical thing today.
Yes, it would. They're actually talking about Kasich making a run for president in 2 years.
Nah. Don't think so.
I wouldn't think so either, but, I mean, really, who do they got? I mean, the...
I don't know. He just... You know, he's a nice guy. I've met him before. You know, he's doing like what all politicians do. They're just trying to forward their career in politics. But, you know, honestly, not because he's from Ohio, doesn't mean that, you know, I'm going to go vote for him. But, you know, I just don't like his demeanor. I just don't like his politics. I don't like his, you know, well,
it's your show, Mark. No, I know. I know exactly what you're saying.
Don't go chasing rabbits.
Well spoken, Victoria. So you're not going to herd me. You're not going to abuse my candidates and then try to herd me into the two-party lemming feeder and wait for me to walk off the cliff by myself. That's not going to happen. So here's a little message that I will send out to our government and any of their little organizations that have various initials to them and to the two main parties running our country. You are incapable of breaking me. You will not ever break my spirit. I know what you're doing. I see what you're doing. I call out your BS. You have no chance of breaking me ever. And that's the way it is. You're not strong enough. I see through all your little tricks. You're never going to herd me into giving up my vote to somebody in one of the two major parties that does not care about me in any way, shape, or form. So, you know what, I would like to see the candidates I vote for win. I know they're not going to most of the time because they're outside of the mainstream, but I'm not going to be, I'm not going to be bullied. That
the Awakening Party, the Lion.
Yes. I'm usually a very nice guy, but when needed to, I've put people in holes they still have no idea how to get out of. So yes, I see a lot of blame game and a lot of yes, I put them in rabbit holes. They have no idea how to get out of. So yeah, so you're save everyone, save your time and breath, and you know, you're not going to convert me to throwing away my vote for voting someone that I don't really like because they may have a better chance of winning than my candidate.
So do you think voting actually? Okay, Victoria. But Mark, do you think that voting actually makes a difference in presidentials or local? Which one has more pull? I mean, are they?
Voting definitely has more pull in local elections. And actually, so I don't want to be somebody who just complains. I want to. I hear people talk about change, and a lot of the people I hear talk about change, they're actually just trying to float the same ideas down the river that have been floated down the river and not worked for decades. So if you really want change and not just talking about change, there are a few ways to do it. You may or may not like all or any of these, but I'm going to tell you, keep voting for the same people from the same two parties, and I promise you, I guarantee it with no doubt, I promise you, nothing will ever get fixed. Do everything as you've always done it, and expect different results. That's the definition of insanity. So, if you really want to change things, here's your options. A, everybody for an election or election cycle, everyone vote for a third party. It doesn't have to be any of the third parties I like. There's dozens. If you go look 1 year, just even at the presidential elections, there's like 20 people on the ballot. There's like 20 people running for president that you can vote for or write. There's always at least four or five on the ballot. So if everyone voted for some party, I'm not telling you which one, vote for whichever one, you'll probably find one of these minor parties is actually closer aligned to your belief systems than the two major ones are.
And why are they minor?
Exactly. So even the way the news media portrays the outside parties is degrading and demeaning. It's, you know, an outside candidate or a third party candidate or, you know, there's always some negative word attached to, you know, to preface the name of the party or the person or whatnot. So if you really want to change stuff, A, everyone go vote for an election, go vote for a third party candidate. And this says, Democrats, Republicans, we're not buying your crap anymore. You're out of line. We're not giving you any more money. We're not watching your stupid TV commercials. That's one option. Two, another option. What if no one voted? And I would love to see an election where no one voted for anything, for anyone. And then, you know, and then they have to, when people don't, to keep evil going, you have to keep feeding into the system. When you have a candidate you support, then at the last minute you're like, oh, I don't really like this guy, but you know, the lesser of two evils argument, you gotta take that one elsewhere, dude. That one, the lesser of two evils, you know what, if you're gonna vote for the lesser of two evils, guess what you're gonna get? You're gonna get evil. That's like, if you're coaching a football team, what if you gave the other team the ball at your 10-yard line every possession? What if they started off, I'm going to get into some sports astrology in a little bit, but what if, like, the Browns and Bengals played last night? What if every time the Bengals had the ball, the Browns just let them take it down to their 10-yard line before they started playing defense? When you let people railroad you into voting for a candidate you don't like, guess what you're going to get? We all create our own realities. We all create what's out there. If you encourage people to not take you seriously or to treat you like crap or to that they can swing your vote at the last minute or something, guess what you're going to get? I'm not a huge Dr. Phil fan, but I do like a few sayings of his. And one of them that I think is great is, you teach people how to treat you. And I believe that 100%. Mm-hmm. If you have self-respect and self-love and dignity, guess what you're going to attract to you? If you act like a doormat and a victim, guess what you're going to get? Mm-hmm. Guess what you're going to get?
So I don't know how I attracted you. I'm not sure what I'm getting.
Right. So the other ways, you know, the other ways that there is, you know what, we stop feeding the beast, stop making donations to the two big parties, or you know what, stop making donations to any, I don't want to sound like I'm trying to swing people to a certain third party or something, but you know what, stop making donations to every party.
Start making donations to all, every party? Or
stop making donations to any party.
Okay.
I mean, do they really, these people really need any, I mean, how many millions of dollars was Mitt Romney worth?
Billions.
Right. I mean, going into the last election, I mean, really, I'm going to donate to somebody that, and then Obama had the, you know, whole Democratic machine behind, I mean, am I going to really give some of my money that I have to hustle for? Why are we going to give it to somebody who's got...
So what you're saying is have them use their own money.
Yeah, or something, or, you know, have some kind of, you know, limit the political ads.
Let me ask you a question, since we're on that topic. Do you feel that that maybe donations should come from just people in general and not corporations or companies or any type of huge entity? Let's make the election for the people, not the companies.
Yes, I would say remove contributions from all companies. I would say here.
So if you want to win, you got to get me to vote for you.
Right. Or how about this? Another option is this, too. You know, what about every? I mean, I understand you can't let every. You can't let the guy. There was a guy running for president in like it was Poland or somewhere who showed up in a Darth Vader outfit.
What's wrong with that?
As much as I found that hysterical, and as much as I may have voted for him, I understand you can't let every crackpot on TV for a debate or whatnot. I understand that. I'm not being ridiculous.
But you know, in some foreign countries like Brazil, for instance, you know, it's a law. You have to vote, and it's mandatory. You get fined or imprisoned. So the thing about what they do there, people are so. And they're the opposite of us. Here we don't want to vote. Some of us don't want to vote. Some of us want to vote. But there, they take it to the next level. They put on, like, these ridiculous candidates running for office. And some of them win. But they get debunked out after. Like,
right.
I think a Buffalo won one year or something. And he won the majority vote. But they had to disqualify him because he wasn't human. So.
Hey, I would vote for a Buffalo over some of these guys. So. Right. So, I mean, you know what? Maybe you have, and okay, granted, third-party candidates or whatever should have to get so many signatures or whatnot to be, I mean, I understand you can't let a guy that has 10 of his friends voting for him to get on a, you know, debate or whatnot. But I think the debate should have a lot more than, you know, two candidates. I think the final presidential debate should have four or five, you know, say you have to get whatever, 100,000 signatures or whatever number would be fair. But all those people should be allowed on the debate, and they should all get equal time. Do not suggest by any means to me that we have a democracy when anybody from a third party gets belittled and destroyed, and then you're forced to choose between two multi-billionaires that don't even live on the same freaking planet as you. I mean, did your life in any way resemble Mitt Romney's or Barack Obama's or
the only
any Bush's or anything?
Is how many greenbacks they have in their pocket, man. That's the biggest difference between you and him. And you know, what about independent candidates, Mark? They actually even make it harder to be an independent candidate to run as an independent, because I thought about running as independent before. They really set the bar even higher so you get discouraged and you get, you know, disqualified, you know, very easily. What do you think about that?
I agree. I think independent candidates should be highly.
You got to work.
Right, you do. You do.
So that, to me, that proves that if you're an independent candidate, that you're doing your work, that you're actually out there hustling, you're out there doing something, because all the Democrats need are 25 valid votes to get onto the ballot from their party line.
Yep.
I mean, that's. I mean, come on.
That's,
you know,
it,
I'm
right.
Like, okay.
Right. Do not suggest that this whole thing is not fixed and rigged.
Okay, so now an independent has to go according to what the election was, and they have to figure out how much the percentage. They have to get, like, so many thousands of votes you know, to get on the ballot. So I'm like, so that proves something about somebody who's an independent, you know, that they're tested, they're out there, and they actually have to meet people versus being on TV and getting powdered up and, you know, getting a little glass of water from time to time. So I admire independent candidates. I may not agree with them all, but I still admire their hard work.
Right. Right, because it is. You're in the, when you're in one of the two main parties, you're in this privileged luxury group, even if you don't go along with everything that they, you know, and you, the whole thing is just crazy. But back to my republic versus democracy point, I don't think that 51% of the people should dictate what 49% of the people want. That's not very good. At any point, you're 2% of the people from everyone being pissed off, and that's just of the people that voted. The majority of people who didn't vote are way pissed off. Mm-hmm. So when someone gets 51% of the vote and screams up and down that they got a victory, yeah, I don't think so. I don't think so. Not buying it. And I certainly don't want, if only 51% of the people agree with my ideas, I don't want those shoved down other people's votes. And in a republic, it's the majority rules. To me, 51-49 or 52-48 is not a majority.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking the difference of a few million people out of whatever, 500 million or whatever the heck. I don't know how many people in America at this point, but
a lot.
A lot, more than I could count.
More than are undocumented as well. But.
Right, so... Yeah, so, I mean, it's... I know there's a lot of frustration on every side and whatnot, but I'm just going to... I'm going to use my psychic powers to... Use my psychic powers now to make some predictions with what will happen with the results of the voting.
Abracadabra.
So my bold predictions are this. After the Republicans now have control of the House and Senate, and we still have a Democratic president. Here's, get close to the microphone. Listen close. Here's my prediction. Nothing's going to change. Nothing. Whichever party, you know, even whenever one party wipes out another one in an election, you know, the Republicans really dominated the election at this point. You know what? Both Democrats may be a little bit sad, but you know what? The people at the top of the parties are happy whoever wins, because you know what? For another election, the status quo held serve. The status quo held home field advantage. They rebuked the independents. They held off any third-party people. And, they're already talking about, you know, the Republicans are going to, you know, the extremists are going to put soldiers on the ground, and we're going to have more wars and everything. It's like, haven't we bombed 937 countries since Obama's been in office? I mean, how many little kids have we blown up with freaking drones? So I really don't want to hear any crap. The status quo won. I don't care what party you think won. The status quo won. Nothing changed. Nothing will be improved. As long as we keep feeding this two-headed beast, nothing will ever get better, ever. We have to think outside the box. As long as you keep buying into, well, I'm going to vote for the lesser of evils, or, well, this third-party guy doesn't have any chance to win, then I don't believe you that you want change. I don't believe you. You've got to do something better. You've got to show your work to me. Mm-hmm. You've got to do something better than that. Make a stand on something. Don't be just another lemming walking off this. I don't care if my candidate gets four votes and one of mine. If I believe in the guy and I like what he says and his voting record, here's a key point. His voting record backs up what he says. Do not listen to any politician speeches on TV. It's all lies. Unless their voting record backs up what they're saying. You can 2 minutes to Google senator, congressman, governor, whatever's voting records. It's all public domain, all public record. You can go look up anyone's voting record in 2 seconds on the internet. So unless you want to get stop throwing around the words change, unless you want to get serious about making change. And so that'd be the end of my rant.
Right, right.
So now that I've successfully ostracized a large amount of the audience, I'm going to do, I've completed my political rant. Astrology-wise, this coming, we're going to go into the big astrology events here for the near future. This coming Monday.
Do you want to take a little break real quick?
Sure.
All right, we'll come right back.
You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com on the Blog Talk Radio Network, your free online holistic publication resource radio for trusting your intuition, achieving self-discovery, and following your soul self.
Okay, so we were on the moving on to some astrology stuff here as we descend deeper into the rabbit hole. Let's see. So this Monday,
Get it together, Iggy.
I don't know what she's blaming me for. This is your show.
Silly rabbit. Tricks are for kids.
You set me up there, Victoria.
Okay, this
month.
I know
that voice.
I bet you do. This Monday, November 10th, Mars is conjunct Pluto at 6.03 p.m. in the evening. And now, we just had a full moon yesterday at 5.22 in the evening. So there's some intense energies out there up through yesterday evening. And this is going to continue up through Monday. Like I said, 6.03 p.m., Mars is conjunct Pluto. And this will happen at 12 degrees with the sign of Capricorn. So Capricorn is the status quo. I guess this is going to lead me back to politics for a minute. So Pluto is the power structures. Mars is anger, aggression, violence. So this leads into some of the, you know, a lot of the anger and outrage that's been out there on all sides politically here. So when Mars is conjunct Pluto, Pluto is death, rebirth, transformation. Pluto is the power structures. Capricorn is the status quo. Mars is energy, aggression, violence, instinctual behavior. Those are all Mars ruled areas. Mars is the warrior. So when we have Mars conjunct Pluto, there's a part of us where we want to retake our own power. Our Pluto and Capricorn is about self-accountability also. So when we have Mars conjunct Pluto, the news headlines tend to be quite violent at those times. As it's Mars, on another note, Mars is the lower octave of Pluto. Pluto is kind of how we, Pluto in evolutionary astrology is how we evolve at the soul level. Mars is kind of how we evolve through our instinctual body, or through our physical bodies, how we operate instinctually and evolve in our 3D reality here. So as we move towards Monday evening, there will be, you'll probably see in the people around you a lot of wanting to overthrow things that are oppressing them, some argumentativeness. You know, I've seen lots of arguing and fights going on Facebook this week and other places. And so it's all about, and even the, you know, public demonstrations we were at Wednesday, that's definitely a Mars-Pluto thing. That's standing up. Standing up for your individuality, your rights,
the sex is going to be good, right?
Get it together, Iggy.
I was wondering about sex and astrology.
Okay.
As your guest on your show, I was just curious.
Okay.
This is a can of worms, I think. Go back to what you were talking about. I want to hear it.
Butter up.
Okay, so, yes, Mars and Pluto have to do with sex also. Pluto is the transformative level of sex. Mars is kind of the physical, instinctual action.
Oh man!
Don't look over. Do you have any seasonings for this shoe that I'm about to put in my mouth?
Yeah, I have essential oils.
I don't know, dear.
I got some disinfectant wipes too.
Yes, if you have a intimate partner right now, the physical activities could be quite rewarding. Dessert could be very scrumptious right now.
Thank you.
dear goodness. So we have the Mars Pluto square. Yes. So break out your sex toys for the next few days. or some of you that I know may not have ever put them away. And you know who you are.
For those of you who... And for those of you who want to speak to Mark or Victoria Fuzzbottom, the call-in number is
646-595-3440. Okay. So then we have another big astrological thing going on, too, which we're probably just now beginning to feel the effects of. Next Sunday, the 16th, at 2:06 a.m., the planet Neptune will station direct. Now, when a planet stations, you tend to feel its energies strongly for stronger than normal for a week on either side. Now, Neptune is now in the sign of Pisces. Neptune is the planet that rules the sign of Pisces, so the Pisces-Neptunian energy will start really picking up, and it will be felt really strong up through early next Sunday, up through next Sunday. So, what the hell does that mean? So, with Neptune, your intuition is heightened, your psychic abilities are heightened, your compassion, dreaminess, allow yourself time to daydream and to meditate and to let emotions come up. We're having these big energy jumps every 5 to 6 weeks, roughly, right now, astrologically. We're in the next big bump up here between the Mars-Pluto conjunction and the Neptune station. Neptune is listening to your intuition. As I've been telling people recently, and I've had to do myself, I am not any better or any smarter than anyone out there. Kill your left brain. I did. Your left brain is not serving you well right now. And this goes for me, too. I'm constantly, as I try to listen, and, you know, we're culturally conditioned to be left brain in this society, in this time period on planet Earth. As we let go of the left side, Virgo, analytical, overly detail-oriented things, we find that our true inner self comes out, our intuition was better, we feel and digest circumstances better. Things just go better when we listen to our intuition, because our eyes, our frontal lobe can only take in so many bits of information. There's tons of dimensions and lots of energy and all kinds of different things going on in front of us. Just like if you have a radio, you have 300 radio stations on it. They all exist in that room. All those airwaves exist in that room that you're in at the same time. It's just dialing the frequency, dialing the station knob, tunes you into the different frequencies and what you're able to pick up. So with this Neptune energy, we're able to pick up stuff, and just listen to your intuition, because all that stuff that our like I was saying, our frontal lobe and our eyes can only pick up certain amounts of information, only a small percentage of what's actually in the room with us. The rest of it kind of goes into the collective unconscious, into our subconscious mind, into our imagination, and this is all how like neuro-linguistic programming and stuff works. They kind of, you know, pass stuff over your frontal lobe right into the back of your brain, and stuff sits there. So all this stuff that we are unable to pick up that's around us goes, you know, the deeper parts of our brain picks this stuff up. So just give yourself time to meditate, sort things out. In general, the biggest things with Neptune stations are A, low energy, your psychic abilities, intuitiveness goes through the roof, and also you're probably going to be surrounded by a lot of weepiness, because Neptune Pisces is not the, and this is that I'm a fish person here, so I'm not outing anyone. I'm not picking on anyone. I am very familiar with the Pisces energy being one. There's a lot of weepiness. Pisces is all about seeing the unknown, the secret things that are out there. So, and we'll talk more about this next week. But this is just a little heads up. Increased energy now through Monday night, and then buy extra Kleenex for next weekend. So, I guess we got about 8 or 9 minutes.
Thanks for the donuts.
You are welcome. Anything I can do to corrupt people is pretty much, you know, pretty much right up my alley.
Don't go chasing rabbits.
So, thank you, Victoria. So, I do many, many different things. I live on the path less traveled. So, I'm going to do just a couple short sports astrology things here because, as you know, I've worked on, I've done statistics on radio and televised sporting events for the last 25 years, mostly doing like research statistics and things like that. So I am, when not on Neptune, when I'm in my physical body, I am in Columbus, Ohio. So the majority of the people here, since we're almost exactly between Cincinnati and Cleveland, seems like the majority of people tend to be fans of the Cleveland sports teams. dog pound.
Quite right.
So last night we had the Battle for Ohio. The Browns and Bengals played. And one of the things I love about sports, I mean, I'm a sports fan, but one of the things I love about it from the astrological side is that you have, you can look at the charts for the teams, players, coaches, and you get, I mean, let's face it, you know, if you're having your Saturn return, it starts a year beforehand, and Saturn hovers around your Saturn for a year, and then it takes 2 years to fix all the crap afterwards. So, but, you know, a sporting event, you have a 3-hour window. You can look and see exactly how planet, there's no gray area. I mean, there's stuff, you know, I had Pluto and Uranus go through my 12th house when I was young. You know, I'm still sorting some of that out, you know. Still hard to figure out exactly what was going on with all that. So we're going to talk briefly here about some of the Cleveland sports teams. So Cleveland Browns, the chart I'm using is I actually, like when it, a lot of times sports teams will move, and I'll try not to go too long on this. A lot of times sports teams move, I like to use the newest chart. When a team is reborn or moves to another city or whatever, I like to use that chart. So the chart I'm using for the Cleveland Browns is their first game after they were reborn, which is September 12th, 1999, 8:20 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And that was actually against the Pittsburgh Steelers. So in that chart, we have the Chiron, which is the wounded healer for the Browns, is at 29 degrees of Scorpio. So currently, the planet Saturn is at 25 degrees of Scorpio. So Saturn is working on a conjunction to the Chiron of the Browns. So at this Chiron being the wounded healer, Saturn is the teacher, the master, the disciplinarian. This is giving some shape and form and focus to the structure of the Browns. Even though they've had some injuries and things to deal with, Saturn is limitations, Chiron wounds. You see they're kind of pulling things together, and they had their most important game they've had this late in the season in decades. So another thing going on in the Browns chart, they have Venus and the North Node, which is future destiny, if you will, both in the signs of Leo. Their Venus is at 18 degrees Leo. Their North Node is at 12 degrees Leo. Jupiter, which is luck and expansion, is currently at 21 degrees Leo. Since the beginning of the season, Jupiter started out at about 11 degrees Leo early in the season. So Jupiter and Leo has been crossing over their north node in Venus throughout this season. And you can see how they've developed. Lost one really bad game to a team that was their only win. But then had, you know, their other two losses, I believe, to Baltimore and I forget who the other one was too. But they were just last second. You know, they're really just very close from being undefeated. They're very close from being undefeated, actually. So Jupiter hitting the north node has really turned the team around. And Jupiter is really, that's what it takes to, when you're going to flip a franchise, turn it for the better, is to have a really good transit like that that is going, you know, gets a really good aspect from Jupiter. And then Saturn is structure, work, discipline that can help get the unorganized parts of a team or a franchise and get them on the right track. And just one other quick little thing, quarterback Brian Hoyer, birthday October 13th, 1985, who they are expected to, you know, everyone was looking at Johnny Manziel to be the quarterback, but Hoyer has been very, has done a great job. He has a sun, moon conjunction in the sign of Libra, and the transiting north node, which is currently at 18 degrees Libra, has just crossed over his sun, and it is still conjunct his sun and his moon. So, as you can see, he's taken his role at the helm, north node, future destiny, and the sign of Libra, balance, teamwork. And you see that nobody on the Browns is really putting up great statistics, but they are playing great as a team, getting balanced offense, good defense. And also in Hoyer's chart, he has Saturn at 26 degrees Scorpio and a south node Mercury-Pluto conjunction in the low degrees of Scorpio. So early last season when he took over because of injuries, Saturn was conjunct his south node Mercury and Pluto, kind of showing he was able to do the work as the backup quarterback and learn the offense and the plays. And now as he is the starter, he's able to take full advantage. You know, he did his homework beforehand, and he's now having his Saturn return, as Saturn is at the same spot it was when he was born. So Saturn working out well in the Browns chart and well in Brian Hoyer's chart. And we'll get further into some sports astrology probably about every week. We'll look at a Mississippi State college football chart, shocking number one team this late into the season, and they play Alabama next weekend with the Neptune Station. So next week in college football, upsets galore on the Saturday, and we'll talk about that next Friday. And we'll also look at the charts of LeBron James, Cleveland Cavaliers, in the city of Cleveland, next week in the near future. So it looks like I believe this ran a lot smoother than last week's. So I appreciate you coming in and co-hosting with me.
Absolutely.
And running the, helping run the control panel with Miss with our delicious friend Miss Fuzzbottom. So any, do you have any parting words here?
No, I just want to say thanks for, you know, the opportunity to come here and share a little bit of my thoughts. I really enjoyed listening to you and the information that you rolls around your head and the stuff that spews out of your mouth. And I mean that in a good way. I don't mean that in a bad way. So thank you, Mark.
Thank you for being on. And if you have time, we'll probably have you on at least for a couple more shows as we work kinks out and to keep things flowing. And
I like how you asked that online.
Yes, we'll
sure,
have
absolutely.
More.
I'll help you, no problem. That's why I'm producer Iggy.
So we will have, yes, and you do a great job producing. Also, you and Victoria, fantastic job with the theme song. Thank you, very awesome. I've gotten great feedback on that. And helping Victoria get the samples done in here, too. So, I look forward to talking to everyone next week.
Mark, yeah.
time to return to the ship.
I guess it's time for me to go. So until next week.